We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. The Yankees have just lost a brutal game two in extra innings. This has been a weird postseason so far. I mean, it feels like an eternity ago they won game one because of the off day and the rainout. And then you got the afternoon game on Friday, which everyone's pissed about. People who had tickets had to give up tickets because they can't take the day off. You got to take another day off. You got to go into the city on Friday afternoon. I'm watching a freaking postseason game on an iPad while I'm sitting in on meetings. Like, this is not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I know. And then you hear about the old days where everything was during the day. So, hold on.
Did Bob Costas mention that one or 700 times today?
I wasn't listening to Costas, to be honest. He was on, but I wasn't listening to anything that they were saying. I was really just tuning them out. No, I had to catch the first inning on the radio. So, or on the radio broadcast. So I heard Susan say it.
That's super authentic. It's super authentic of you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I was listening to a radio broadcast of a day playoff game. What is this, the 1940s?
Well, I will say, whether that was the old way and this is the new way and it's shit on by certain people, I love night games, playoff games. They're the best. They're by far the best. The atmosphere is amazing. I don't know, man. So today was a day that it felt like a long time because it was a long time. Playoff baseball, you expect to be go, 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 go. And there was a large lull. And now it's going to be go, go, go. But the Yankees have, in a 5-game series, losing this game is not a small deal. It's not a small deal. It's the splitting at home is huge for Cleveland, especially with McKenzie going because of the way that he's been pitching. The guy's been lights out. So there's the Yankees have a tough job ahead of them now. They really do. And it felt like they were going to take advantage of today. They did have opportunities to get Bieber. I know you felt a certain way early in the game after that Stanton home run, but there were opportunities that they missed today, no doubt.
Yeah, opportunities in the third, opportunity in the sixth, opportunity in the eighth, and they didn't cash in on any of them. You get one of those things, you drive in one run in any of those scenarios, and you win the game. After Stanton hits, it was a really ironic sequence of events. It's like Stanton should have walked. Like, it was clearly a ball. It was a horrible call by the umpire. He was making horrible calls all afternoon. And the worst part about it was he was inconsistently bad. So, like, what are you going to do with that?
Right? Nothing worse than an inconsistently bad umpire. Nothing worse.
Just terrible. But so Stanton should have walked. If the umpire does his job, the Yankees get shut out today. Right? It's like that Stanton doesn't hit the 2-run home run. Now, obviously, who knows what Donaldson does after him in the first inning. But he hits the home run off of Bieber, who's their ace. Mm-hmm. Then Nestor, who a lot of people feel is the Yankees' unofficial ace, looks like he's cruising. He even, there was an opportunity for Cleveland in their first inning after a couple guys reached, like Kwan leads off the game with a bunt single. Like he's clear, like you clearly understand what Cleveland's trying to do. Pulled some numbers on them. They are terrible against left-handed pitching. They have a 240 team batting average and a 646 team OPS against left-handed pitching. So they struggle as an offense against lefties. So they're going to try and do anything they possibly can. So Kwan's out there bunting, you know, as a Guardians fan, probably love that play. But Nestor gets out of the jam. And it seems like, because the Guardians to that point had no hits this postseason with runners in scoring position, they were 0-for. It just seemed like that was going to be their story this postseason, right? Like
pretty small sample size to use as a complete narrative, but yeah, I mean, I hear
three games, but it was three games, but like they had that 15 inning marathon, like they were doing nothing offensively. They're not a team that hits home runs and scores runs. And that's the only way they scored runs so far.
It's not just the playoffs. It's kind of their MO, you know, their MO is that they scratch runs across. They're aggressive on the base path. They put the ball in play. And that's exactly what we saw against Tyone in the ninth inning where he's going out and you know, easily should have been out of that inning with those little blips.
They're hitting sand wedges over the infield. It's like people are shitting all over Tyone. They're like, how could you go to Tyone? He's never come out of the bullpen. That's the time you go to Tyone. A clean inning in a tie game where you need length. What's the difference between that and a start? Like, come on. Like, just tell him to warm up a half hour before he's going to pitch. Like, that's probably pre-planned, right? If we get to a 10th inning and it's tied, you're going in. He's probably knew that since the 7th inning. So I'm sorry. I don't think that's a bad scenario to put Tyone in. I'd much rather have Tyone pitching in that scenario than Clark Schmidt or Domingo Herman, because Tyone's a better arm than those two guys. Now, I understand those other two guys have had bullpen experience, but Tyone's the clear choice there, I think. I don't blame Boone for that decision. It didn't work out. Tyone made one bad pitch in that inning, and it was the freaking center dick fastball to Josh Naylor. Otherwise, I mean, like, legitimately hitting 120-foot bloops over the infield. What are you supposed to do with that?
No, there was nothing. And you know, Cabrera, I'm not sitting here going to – Those were heat-seeking little bloop balls. They found the ground, or non-heat-seeking, cold-seeking. They found the ground. Cabrera probably he looked a little tentative on the ball coming in, like he was reading Donaldson coming out too much. He probably could have been more aggressive after that ball, and I think would have caught it. But I'm not going to sit here faulting him either. It was a long way to go. The ball, unfortunately, just fell between the guys. And then the same thing in right field.
You're playing. Like, you're not Rizzo's playing. You're playing, you know, more towards left center against Ramirez. Ramirez is a left-handed hitter in that situation. You're not playing close to the left field line there.
No, it's a tough play. It's a very difficult play, and it's an unfortunate result for Tyone, because he made good pitches to both of those guys. That fly ball to right field was a flail of the bat, essentially, because it was a damn good breaking ball. So he got really unlucky with those two. And then, yeah, Naylor, you know, hit a piss missile out beyond Bader. Bader had a horrible throw in.
Route to the ball. Not that he was going to get it.
But at the same time, it was I don't think that affected the play. His throw could have affected the play. It was a terrible throw. And you know, with a good throw to relay.
There was bad defense all around. You've got Judge is just completely lost. Like, the Monstars stole his powers. Like, what is going on with Judge? He looks terrible at the plate. Four strikeouts, 0-for-5. They had a graphic early in the game. He's hitting like 214 or something in his last 14 games. Obviously, like, we know, like, I think there was the pressure of trying to get to 62 runs. Like, yeah.
Well, and he's also he's swinging differently, I think, at the end of the season. Once you clinch, he's going for that home run ball.
There's
a lot of things. But also, you know, he's been red hot for a couple months. This is a guy that as we all know with that's baseball, Susan. Like, it ebbs and flows. It does. It's hard to stay hot forever. I know he's not swinging the bat well. That last strikeout, the ball was below his knee again, and they called it a strike. Yep. Strike three. Bad, you know, I don't want him swinging at that pitch. He shouldn't swing at that pitch. It's a ball. It's every day it should be a ball, especially on a man that's 6'7". It just looks more egregious. on a guy like that. So I don't understand how umpires are still making this mistake, but here we go. But yeah, his timing's off. His timing is off. There's no doubt.
The thing that's really glaring to me today was the horrible throw to home on the ball out to right field. I think that was it the third inning where he's trying to make the play at the plate and he had no chance at the guy at the plate. Like, why are you trying to throw the guy out there? Keep the runners at first and second in that scenario. So it's a bad decision to throw the ball home, and it was a horrible throw.
Yeah. I mean, another throw that ended up really hurting them was that again on that bloop. Like, it was just a terrible play all around. Donaldson throws the ball away, and you see Ramirez look, this team is going to take, if you give them an opportunity to take any bases, they're going to take those bases every single time. That's what this team does. This team scraps. This team will play, you know, in the dirt. They will be in the mud, and they love it. They want a game to be fucking messy. If a game is messy, because Cleveland is happy.
Well, they want it to be a bullpen game. So this was an ideal scenario for them. It's like Bieber and Cortez essentially match each other. It's 2-2, and you're going to the bullpens, and their bullpen, they feel confident they'll outpitch the Yankees, and they did. Their bullpen is great. Class A, I mean, you saw how filthy he is. Karinchik, I think, was a little wild, but the Yankees wasted the opportunity against him. The eighth inning situation, he had two walks, and then Cabrera works a full count, and he swings at ball four. I mean, he doesn't swing at that pitch. His base is loaded. One out. It's like, who knows what happens. So this bullpen is going to be really hard to score off of. And, you know, as we're looking forward to the rest of the series, the next three games are all in a row. That hurts both bullpens in theory, right? But if you're just saying, well, they're going to be bullpen games anyway, I don't like that. That's already a Cleveland advantage. So the fact that it's no off days at all, like the Yankees starting pitching, like Severino and Cole in the next 2 days, like you need to just have them step up, because if not, you're losing the series.
Yeah, I mean, the Cleveland, so probably lost a closer for tomorrow, and you know, he pitched the most he's pitched all season, definitely. So he's not going to be available tomorrow, but you know, who knows on today's Friday, on Saturday.
He'll be available Saturday.
On Sunday, he'll be available on Sunday, not Saturday, most likely.
Right. He'll be available for game four.
You're still going out there. Yeah, you're still going out there. And they, you know, the other guys didn't throw a ton of pitches. So I would imagine their bullpen is still in good shape at this point. Whereas the Yankees just aren't as deep. That's the problem right now. They're just not as deep. And you know, if fans are killing Boone for going to Tyone, I also don't understand that. Like, he's got to make a move to one of, like, what if you're putting Herman or Schmidt or Tyone, like, okay. I mean, you're saying that Tyone's the better of the three. Like, that's fine. You could also, you know, pick straws, to be honest, for those three guys. They've been in situations. Tyone may be the better pitcher, but he's a starter. The other guys are a little inferior, but at the same time, like in that situation, I would be fine if he brought out either any three of those guys. I would have been totally fine with. There's not much of a scenario difference for me in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, just the way I look at it is Tyone is in theory your game four starter when and if you need a game four starter, which means he's probably a better option for that scenario. I'm not suggesting bringing in Tyone in a short relief outing. Like, that's not what he should be used for, but who knows how long this game could have gone. If we're going to the 14th inning, hopefully Tyone's still out there, right? Like, that's why, that's the value of having him start that inning, is he could pitch 4, 5, 6 innings.
Well, I think the argument against that is that Clark Schmidt and Domingo Herman could be the same exact thing. They could be a 3-4 inning pitcher if you need them to be. Yeah.
It's my opinion that I trust Tyone more than those guys.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
fine.
Saying I trust Tyone a lot more than those guys. It's a little bit more than those guys. But at that point, second guess, you and I are never going to hesitate to second guess Aaron Boone, right? Like, this is not a scenario to second guess him.
No, I agree with that. But yeah, now again, McKenzie, circle this game, because McKenzie has been absolutely filthy. He shoved against the Yankees the last time he pitched against the team, and this is, you know, this is they're staring down the barrel of a potential 2-1 deficit going back to Cleveland. So
do you think the rainout, so a lot of people,
I don't really think the rainout affected much. I don't think the rainout affected much
for the, for game two or for the whole series. I think it's going to affect things, especially if we get to a game five. I mean, even Terry Francona said on the pregame today that Bieber would not be available for a game five. That wouldn't be the case had he pitched on Thursday night.
I'm talking about for this game. I don't think it mattered at all.
Of course not.
It matters a little bit because now there's a, there's no day off. So you have guys going back to back in the bullpen. So it does. But again, like, I don't think the bullpens were affected. You're going to feel the wrath of that no day off on Sunday, Monday.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you have a game five, it's going to be a hodgepodge for both teams. Like,
yeah,
if Nestor Cortes pitches, it's maybe an opener situation, or maybe it's a piggyback on top of somebody, right? Like, you're piecing together that game five, which wouldn't be the case if you had Nestor Cortes pitch on Thursday. You could bring him back in a more normal starting situation for that game.
But you're still rolling out Nestor Cortes, right? You're not saying, I mean, Tyone pitched today as well for, an inning. Are you considering then Tyone as a guy that can now, you kind of have to lay off of so that he can throw game five? Or because he pitched tonight, are you gonna mess around and throw him, potentially tomorrow or Sunday, and then save one of two, Clark Schmidt or Domingo Germán, for that?
I don't think you save anyone, because then you get cute and start saving people and you cost yourself.
Not save, but like regulate to the back of the pen, as an emergency guy, but still
I would say
pencil him in as a game five starter if needed.
I would say Tyone is most likely to fall. I would say that they would, of course, like game four could be an elimination game, and then it's right. All bets are off, all hands are on deck. But assuming you don't need Cortes and Tyone, that a combination of those two guys is like a five plus inning starter on game five.
Yeah, well, and I think that Tyone, because he went today, I mean, they treat it almost like a bullpen, a little bit more of a bullpen. He could come back and start and be, pretty much 100% on
Tyone one time through the order, Nestor one time through the order.
Or even start Nestor and then have Tyone, because Tyone will probably have more length. Yeah, more length, I would assume.
Yeah, and it's like Nestor, I also, it's like when they went to the bullpen, when they brought in Trevino in the sixth inning, I was like, well, Nestor Cortes at 92 pitches, he pitched five innings. He wasn't fantastic. He wasn't getting hit hard, though. He got out of a couple jams. Like, he made that amazing play on the comeback or on the jam where he's falling down and tossing over to first base. Like, yeah, that's just Nestor Cortes, baby. That's the Nestor Cortes experience. But I'm sitting there like,
that's what it looks like when all of us, if any of us were out there and making that same play. That's why everybody loves that man.
Ilya was joking. He's like, if you simulate that play 100 times, how many times is Nestor making that? I'm like, 100, because he's Nestor Cortez. Everyone
It'll
else,
look different.
Too.
It'll look different 100 times, but it will be made. It will be made.
But so are we trusting, like, they trusted, okay, we got enough out of Nestor Cortez 5 innings. I'm kind of questioning that. I'm like, well, are we trusting this bullpen with how thin it is more than Nestor Cortez? I don't know that that should be a given. Maybe what they saw in today's game was like not enough to trust Nestor. Like if Nestor had been at 82 pitches instead of 92 pitches, maybe he's back out there for the sixth. I don't know.
I think because it's a 2-2 game and you're trying to preserve a lead to get the bottom of the inning to come up so that you can end the game. I think it's just an opportunity for them to stretch the game and go inning by inning. So I didn't see anything in this game that I thought was crazy out of Boone. Pulling Nestor in that spot, I was okay with. And it ended up working. It ended up being fine. The bullpen did their job.
The bullpen pitched fine.
I thought they pitched well. And you know, it was just shit, man. Even Tyone, up until that nailer at bat, those were two outs. Essentially, those were two outs that should have been caught.
Exactly.
And on a different day, wind's blowing a different way or whatever, you know, those are absolutely two outs. So they got a little unlucky with Tyone right there.
And it's like, you want to point fingers. The offense did nothing. They did nothing. They got the 2-run home run by Stanton, and then they did nothing all day. They wasted the opportunity in the third with two on second and third, one out. Stanton and Donaldson coming up. You get jack shit. Like, get me a sack fly in that scenario. Then you've got the opportunity in the sixth when they pinch hit Carpenter for Trevino, and Carpenter struck out. Like, the first legit at bat we've seen from Carpenter since whenever he went down in the middle of the summer. And then they've got the opportunity in the eighth that I just referenced with Karinchik being wild. It's like, those are three opportunities in a playoff game. Like, you're not going to get many more opportunities than that in a playoff game against a fantastic pitching staff. You have to cash in on one of them or else you're fucked. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, when Stanton gets on and LoCastro pinch runs, steals the base, you're like, okay, here we go. This is the way baseball is supposed to be played. Now you get a base hit and you get him you get him around so that he scores and then you close it down. And it just didn't work. They couldn't get the big hit. Holmes pitched well, I thought, as well. So, you know, that's good. That's a good sign. That's a very good sign. The offense is the one that needs to come up and come up. Like, this McKenzie start is massive. Going down 2-1 is going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough.
I was working today, watching the game. I was on Twitter. I saw people talking about the midges. Apparently, they're forecasting midges for game three in Cleveland.
Of course they are. I mean, even if there's no midges, if I were a Cleveland weather person, I would forecast midges. I would, even if I haven't seen midges in Cleveland since Jabba Chamberlain was wiping them off of every orifice of his body and picking them out, I would call for midges for game three. That's what I would do.
So, 100%. Hopefully Aaron Boone is aware of this, but do not spray bug spray because that actually attracts the midges.
They must make better bug spray now, right? They must make like midges bug spray now. There's a lot of years that have gone by. Technology
midge spray?
Technology has advanced in many categories. I have to imagine. I have to imagine that there's
midge away.
There's a midge spray.
Midge be gone.
You need a whistle, something, you know, high frequency, high pitched noises, whatever it is. They need to, they need a different fabric, cotton uniforms.
So the flying insects that hatch along Lake Erie and migrate inland as the weather cools infamously affected the 2007 ALDS. Blah 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 blah. So I guess because of the weather that is being forecasted and the time of year, this is midge season.
It's midge season. They're going to be hatching. They're going to be active. So I don't know. Hopefully they swarm Tristan McKenzie. That's what we need some payback. No, man, but you know, going out there against, I mean, I've been watching him for a little bit. I've had that guy on my fantasy baseball team for 2 years. So McKenzie? I've seen a lot of his, yeah. And I've seen a lot of his, he's, when he's on, he's freaking dominant. He's electric. He really is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like he ended the season really hot. If this guy comes out here and is pitching
and
well,
he's pitched well against the Yankees this
yes,
year
he has.
In his start. Do you know why that the midges are not going to be attracted to Tristan McKenzie? Because he's got no fat on him. He's just skin and bones. Like they probably midges want that the, like that like juicy sweet like smell of like some fatty out
beer.
There sweating. Why do you think they were all over Jabba Chamberlain?
I mean, he wasn't old. He was in good shape at that point.
No, he was old.
He was husky, but he was in shape. He was healthy. He was a healthy man.
He was a chunky boy.
He wasn't very healthy, probably. Actually, now that I'm thinking
anything else you want to touch on from this game? I got a couple of roster notes to touch on, but anything else from the game?
It just you know, we're gonna look back at this one and there's missed opportunities. Like any playoff game ever, when you usually they're low scoring and you have your opportunities that you need to take advantage of. I mean, this is why the team is supposed to be set up the way it is, with guys who can go bat to ball, guys who can make contact and execute in situations like that. And we've been exhaustive talking about that type of baseball and how the Yankees set up. And they did, like, to their credit, they did set up. It just didn't work today. And
Do you think they switched the lineup?
The Guardians are fucking built for this shit. They again, like, mm-hmm. bring on the midges, bring on the cold, bring on the heat, bring on the sun, bring on the whatever, anything, bring it, because they want the elements. They want to play dirty. They want this game. They want to play scrappy. They want it to be an ugly game, because that's the type of game they love.
Their mutter was a mutter. Do you think they switch the lineup up, move Judge back to two, maybe?
Probably not.
Yeah.
What would that say? What does that say? That says that Judge is going to be more comfortable in the two spot? Like, I don't know. I don't know what that does.
No, you're just switching it up to switch it up, really. Judge has been – he's looked awful at the plate. That's the thing, though. It's not just that he is not producing. He looks awful.
There's no other leadoff guy. There's no leadoff person on this team, though. That's the problem.
It would be Rizzo.
I hate that.
Why do you hate that so much?
It's just ugly to me. It's ugly.
How is that any uglier than Judge leading off?
Because Judge is the better athlete. I don't know.
Okay.
He hits for a higher average. He makes more contact.
Judge is better. Duh.
Yeah, he's a better leadoff hitter. Right. That's my – exactly. And Rizzo is – he's good where he is.
So,
first of all, also, can we talk about that? Rizzo made, I mean, he got picked up, but thankfully he got picked up, but he did boot a ball down that first baseline. That was very uncharacteristic. So I'm glad the defense was sloppy all day.
Really sloppy defense today. Blame it on the sun.
Such a freaking Achilles heel in a positive way for this team.
I legitimately saw someone on Twitter blaming it on the shadows, as if the Yankees have not played dozens of day games throughout the season at Yankee Stadium.
I mean, you could still, whether you play there, you're used to it, but it could still affect you a little. But it's just make the
so
play. He didn't
we,
make the play.
We had concern when Judge was kind of slumping towards the end of the season. It's like, you just hate to see that, because you wanted him to carry that hot streak and also like that unreal plate discipline into the playoffs. And so far we haven't seen it. Like, he would spit on all of those breaking balls that were out of the plate. And the one strike he saw, he would hit 110 mile an hour rocket somewhere. And I'm not like getting on Judge, because it's really hard to get on Judge after the season he just had. But again, you don't have Judge, this lineup becomes a lot thinner.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's no other way to say that. If Judge is not hitting, this team is different. They look very different. And the pitching staff can attack in so many different ways when Judge is not on. So, yeah, we just need him to figure it out and to get some better at-bats and to get that feeling back. He needs to get it back, because this team is in trouble if he's not the guy. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And Stanton, good to see Stanton getting that home run, because that's a guy that they need to protect, and maybe that's another piece of this, is that he's going to get some better pitches or protecting Judge needs a little bit more protection, and the guys behind him hitting will help Judge as well.
Yeah, wasn't Glaber hitting third today?
Yeah, he was not. It wasn't Stanton directly behind him.
Why don't we just do Judge, Rizzo, Stanton? Like, why not just do that? Let's just do that, Boone. Just do that, right?
Just do the big guys. Just do the traditional thing.
Just keep it simple.
It's hard to say not to have Glaber though. Glaber's been good.
Who do you want getting more at bats in game three, Stanton or Glaber?
Stanton.
Yeah. Okay. So keep it simple, stupid. Not calling you stupid. Benintendi, Marinaccio are both headed to Tampa, and they're going to get some extra work. Maybe they'll be back for the ALCS if they make it. And then Montas threw a bullpen session.
I don't care about Montas. Talk to me about Montas in 2023.
The crazy thing is the aforementioned most important trade deadline of Brian Cashman's career so far, one of the pieces he's acquired is on the active playoff roster.
That's wild. And, you know, Monday morning quarterback here, it was really good at the time. It felt good at the time. It did.
Felt good, yeah.
I said
one. I was thinking Trevino, obviously Harrison Bader, who hit a home run in game one. And
Trevino, I mean, Carpenter was before that. You're not looking at it. That's not a trade deadline. That's just a random pickup off the scrap heap.
All right. And I'll wrap it up for this episode. We'll be back after game three Saturday night. I think we're going to be streaming on YouTube for Saturday night. So come join us there.
We're going to try that out.
You know, 11:30 Eastern time. I'll be
whenever the game's over.
Taping my eyes open, but I'll be there and I'll be streaming. We'll talk to you guys then.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.